Excellent.
Find us on Facebook. Just search for Siren Radio Lincoln.
Okay, then. One of these days. One of these days. Anna Lewis, how is the move going? Because I know your latest Facebook request was, I need somebody to help move stuff from Jersey to Isleworth. Is it just something where you wish you'd never started?
Yeah, well, it's horrendous. I mean, it's the cost of getting a lorry across the channel from Jersey to the UK is £300 or £400 before you start putting stuff in it. It's a big move. It's a big move. I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, just think, when it's actually done, it'll be sorted through. Now, Katie, you've done the journey from Lincoln to London and then back again to Lincoln, I believe.
Many times.
Many times.
Oh, but in terms of, yeah, I lived in...
In terms of the move, the shift.
I lived in Lincoln. I was born in Lincoln and I lived for quite a few years down in London. So.
Any advice for Anna, who after a couple of decades in Jersey is going back to the big city, that capital of smog that we actually call London?
You get quite brutal about, do I actually need this stuff?
Does it chuck out the chintz tile?
Absolutely.
Yeah, true. I mean, I feel I'm like Imelda Marcos at the moment. I've got too many pairs of shoes and only one pair of feet. But they're addictive. I mean, once you buy shoes, you're in a slippery slope of just accumulating ones for every occasion.
Well, especially if they don't have any grip on them, obviously. Tessa... Nodding with respect to the shoes issue, is that something which...
It is an issue. Yeah. I mean, it is where I am at the moment in my flat because I've got one little wardrobe and it's just difficult to keep all your shoes in there. And I'm a little bit... I'm not a hoarder, but I'm quite sentimental, so I struggle to throw things out. I don't know whether you are, Anna, but I struggle.
Terrible sentimentalist. I really am. There are things I've hung on to for over 20 years because I like them so much and I won't wear them every day, but, you know, they're special. Yeah. Yeah.
Shaley.
I'm 100% a hoarder, definitely.
It's a tough call, but sometimes we need to remember that if you love something, let it go. As Sing said last
week. Nice.
Let it go and then you discover you needed it.
That's
always the way.
So, as it's a matter of weeks now before we start actually finding out what is hot on the ground as far as Isleworth is concerned, have you got any last-minute thoughts that you'd like to share with us from Jersey? Or is it a case of, no, I want to just cast that off now like the dust from my feet?
Well, it's funny, I think you have to be at the position or the cusp of moving to start appreciating things that you're about to give up. Yeah. And the sea has done that to me. I go past the sea and I get very upset because I know I won't see the sea for a while. I mean, the river will be at the end of the road, but it's not the same thing.
Yes, but the river goes to the sea.
Of water.
So,
just follow the river to
exactly.
the sea.
Exactly. You could take lots of pictures of Jersey's coastline and see the sea from there.
Yeah.
You'll have to have them up on your wall in a frame. You'll have to have nice pictures of Jersey in the outside.
Yeah, I must do that. Yeah, I have to do that just to keep my hand in there.
Never mind. When is the actual date set? Because I know you're talking about March, so, I mean, in terms of the countdown now...
the countdown is I'm leaving work on the 16th of March. Mm-hmm. And I need to be out of my flat by the end of March. So, it's,
so in essence, by the time we reach the end of March, you will be on land on the big island that we call England.
Yes, on the big island, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the milk isn't that great here, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
I love the milk in England. The milk is too sort of rich in Jersey. It doesn't have the same... No, I prefer English milk. And we're not allowed to buy it over here, so...
Really?
No, there's a law against it. We're not.
I didn't know
the cows have been breeding in Jersey since 1763, and they won't allow English cows into Jersey at all.
That's an amazing fact.
That is.
Quite frightening. But it says so on milk, and that's how I know, but I love English.
Now she's going like a Dalek.
Like a robot. Yeah.
So automatically, you even mentioned the notion of English milk
she's
coming into Jersey.
Blown up.
And just start pressing the sensor buttons, taking it out from a whole sort of sequence. It's just not on at all, really, from that perspective.
True.
Never mind. So where exactly are you now? Because last week, obviously, you were having a Chinese, and I think Katie and myself were both quite interested in how you found the Chinese. Was it good?
No, I'm in a USC shop because it's a friend's birthday tomorrow and she's into all sorts of unusual things and they've got unusual things in here, so I'm just trying to find the last thing to wrap to give her tomorrow.
I see. A USC shop.
I'm intrigued.
Yes. I mean, what are these strange letters connected with? I mean,
it's a sort of sports directory sort of place, but they do like discounted designer stuff as well. So it's quite an unusual shop. It's a bit like TK Maxx. It's Jersey's version of TK Maxx, really.
Is it something that will kind of embed itself into our consciousness so that, you know, in many years to come, people will actually be saying, we miss the old USC, much as some people say we miss C&A. Now, there was a Dutch company that said, do you miss C&A, Kate?
I miss C&A because...
People grieve Woolies. I mean, I don't know. Do you miss Woolies?
I miss the penny sweets.
Yeah.
And Katie, let us not forget C&A.
I once saw Marcus from Babylon 5 in Lincoln C&A and was properly starstruck.
Wow. I miss Blockbusters.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Video.
Video.
VHS.
I'm
what's
just
that,
finding
the audience says? Yeah, Tessa says.
Any 18-year-old listening.
Talking to you from that. But we're actually looking at the advert that's online for that stop, that shop which you're actually talking about here. And we see that it's there's an application that you can actually go to if you wish to from that point of view. You can brand it. I was just wondering, are we into clothing here? I mean, is your friend likely to be into clothing? Because we'll put the midweek drive.
She's one of ladies who like scarves and...
Right, so accessories?
Okay, yes,
well, we're opening up accessories. Shayla, you're in retail. Where do you think we should actually go to actually give Anna a choice here? Bags and purses, beauty, fragrance, gift cards, gloves?
I'm immediately drawn to iron-on patches.
Yeah, nice choice. Very, very quirky.
I love a good iron-on patch.
And a way in which you can customise your favourite jacket or bring new life to your old jeans.
I mean, yeah, one of the big things currently is people are customising their jeans with all sorts of quirky colours and butterflies. And
Katie, are you a jean customiser?
I've never customised jeans before, no.
You've never lived.
And very helpfully, they're actually giving you ironing instructions as well. Heat your iron to 400 degrees or the cotton setting. The steam option should be turned off. And then prepare your garment. So you might like to consider possibly providing some of the lines, because you've got various USC badge packs there.
The unicorn.
You've got the unicorn, that's all we've got. You've got tiger. You've got the bad habits set up there. Whoa, there are lots of things there.
There is quite a...
Tessa, you've also got a fair amount of retail experience. Where would you point?
Yeah, I always go for scarves and things like that, because you can never have too many of those. Scarves. And, you know, they come in handy.
Yes, they do.
A nice scarf.
Katie?
I'm intrigued how you prepare your garments for iron-on patches. Do you sort of talk soothingly to them?
Well, you've got to psych them up, really. Absolutely. And then you've got to care for them as well. I mean, remember, patches are for life, not just for Christmas. Meant to be permanent, but may loosen over time. Story of my life. For best results, wash your garment inside out in cold water and hang to dry or tumble dry with no heat. To ensure your patch is secure, you may wish to sew around the edges.
Mm-hmm. I actually had to do this in textiles once. We learned how to sort of, you know, do
the first thing. Did it change your life, Tessa? Has it helped you become the woman you are today?
I don't know, really. It contributed, I guess. Yeah. It helped out slightly.
Yeah. Did you do textiles, Anna?
No, I mean, we did sewing at school in the 70s, but nothing very exciting.
I was always complimented at junior school for my needlepoint, actually. That was an amazing.
Just a thought.
Anyway, you're listening to Siren Radio's Midweek Drive, in which we actually sort of like to give a slightly more chintz-covered feel to the system just before we chuck out the chintz and do a variety of other sort of aspects as well. Katie, any other final words of advice or thoughts that we want to share with Anna Lewis so she prepares for that bit? I mean, we don't find out what Chinese she actually... or did she enjoy the Chinese?
It was all right. It wasn't the best. And KFC here is snitched as well. That's a terrible tragedy. There.
Have they shut down?
Yeah,
no more chickens?
Yes.
Yeah. No, those chickens, they just can't be delivered, exactly. End of chickens, they've gone elsewhere. And wouldn't you if you were a chicken? You wouldn't cross the road to go to KFC. And please, you know, other chicken outlets obviously are available. I'm not going to go down that line. It's just there was a tragedy that even the BBC alerted us to this week, that there was a crisis in the chicken front. And people were, once tempted to just use the William Shatner words, get a life, when people actually say, we can't cope without our KFC weekly fix. There is more to life than a family bucket. People are starving in parts of the world. You can get by without a KFC. That's all I would say. Sorry to be harsh. Katie?
I just wondered what's coming up for you in the next week, Anna.
I know, it's exciting times. And they're organising a leaving do for me, because I've been in the job just under 18 years.
Good heavens. That's...
So, yeah, I mean, it's more than
it's a generation.
Some people. I know.
Yeah.
And I will miss the job, because I love it, but, you know... Time to move on.
They do indeed, and I'm sure that, you know, when all things are considered, that we will realise that ultimately there was only ever one Anna Lewis. It's not as though we're writing a testimonial for her, and it's not as though we're actually having a wake, because she will be with us, and let's face it, she's getting a little bit closer to Lincoln on a year-by-year basis.
Yes.
By this stage, we anticipate her taking up a job at the University of Lincoln, probably around about 2064, I would have thought, really. You know, kind of step by step on the whole sort.
Anna Lewis, worth the wait.
It's a way forward. Shaylee, for the first time on the Midweek Drive Evening Edition for quite some time. You normally actually customise this for our breakfast correspondents. Would you like to actually throw those last two questions to Anna Lewis, please?
Well, Anna, I think I speak for everybody when I say it's been a pleasure. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have. Thank you very much for the invite.
No worries. And can we rely on you for next Wednesday?
I think that would be lovely. I'll be here. Thank you.
You do if you've ironed your garment correctly. William Coles, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How's life in Edinburgh on this fabulous February afternoon?
It's excellent. Thank you so much for asking.
Excellent. 16 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock as far as Lincoln time is concerned. Presumably the same time in Scotland as well.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, but shortly in the summer we will be getting evenings which last till about 11 o'clock.
Aye.
Beat that.
Aye, as they say. Aye, in so many ways. Aye. William, I don't know whether you want to jump the gun on this, but I do have another confession for you.
Another confession.
Yeah, I do.
This is. Am I turning into your father?
What? No, I don't think so. No, absolutely not. No, let's play the I don't.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
But this actually involves Katie, and it involves last week after the midweek drive.
What did you do this time?
It was not what I did, but what I didn't do. And Katie, I realised actually in 5 minutes, I thought, do I send an email? Last week we parted after a fantastically sensational show, etc. You headed one way, I headed up the other way. Mm-hmm. I realised when I'd crossed the bridge, it's pouring down with rain. You didn't have any head covering whatsoever. Katie went off into the pouring rain last week, didn't provide an umbrella, didn't even provide an offer of a lift to actually get her home, and that has been niggling at me.
Oh, for the exactly. I need the exercise.
Well, and I just felt, actually, in a world where we're supposed to actually care for each other and support you, I just felt I let Katie down there.
Oh no, I didn't. But surely,
Alex, in this with these kids, we have to teach them. We have to teach them tough love, and the only way she's going to learn is if, she gets caught out in the cold and gets flu and stuff like that. And after she gets the flu, she will know that she has to wrap up warm and take an umbrella.
That might, William, be the sort of thing that our head of school, Professor Jason Whittaker, says to his PA on a regular basis, which is what Katie is. But, I might be the reverse, of course. You might say, I'm sorry, Jason, tough love. I'm doing this for your own good. Go out in the rain. Say that because he's on the show next week, hopefully. But yeah, it's a tough. Do you feel that the response was actually kind of it's making you a better, more holistic person by actually saying go off in the rain, whilst I have my cap and go off elsewhere.
I think it toughens me up, and I think being out in nature is good and healthy.
Right.
Yeah. You're doing somebody a favour by saying go and catch flu.
Well, there are other people who have been down with flu over the last few weeks, including Michael Blackburn, who's just actually lost about a stone and a half in weight after having spent 2 weeks of flu, really. Sorry, I'm conscious, Tessa. Are Katie's headphones not functioning?
They're not.
They've gone kaput.
Yeah. Oh. So we just thought we'd... So we're sharing. Because that's the sort of people we are.
Well, that's wonderful. Clearly we should have actually... I daren't call in our Deputy Station Manager again to actually... Because this would be just a nightmare personified. But we need to clearly sort of address this other line of things.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a thought? Sometimes we feel that actually just discussing the situation when it comes to headphones is a whole new world. Bear in mind, next week, we should be 1, 2, 3... We could actually have 6 souls in the studio. This sorted out by then. It's ridiculous. Anyway, apart from that, thank you, William. I think that's sorted me out completely from that point of view.
You were shriven.
Nice. I'm glad you said that. Shaley, presumably you know what shriven refers to.
No way.
Right, well, would you like to explain, William, how the shriving of sins is a good way of actually ensuring that we can march gainfully into the future looking for pertinent posers?
It means he's forgiven.
What religion is that from?
The Coles, the Church of Coles. Okay, COC.
Did you not realise? Did you not realise that Alex is a good Catholic, and when he was a kid, had to go to confession at least once a week, possibly twice for him, and now he's started up again.
If you can't use this programme to actually at least keep your spiritual guides in touch with yourself, what can you use it for? Say again. Anyway, there we are. I'm annoying as to whether she should actually have the sackcloth in the studio, but I'm not sure whether it could be health and safety issue stuff. So it goes. Shaley, anything you'd like to put to William about life, the universe, and indeed his current occupation in Edinburgh as a screenwriter extraordinaire?
What are you currently working on?
I'm working on a love story. It's going to be a great love story. No names, no pack drills, because otherwise... Siren listeners might nick the idea, obviously.
You've always got to be very careful about such things, William, and I'm pleased you actually said that. It's going to be good, it's going to be awesome. In fact, I was actually having a look recently at some of your online material, which is still worth looking for. Now, do you prefer to publish via the electronic world, or do you prefer hard physical copy? I just sort of ask you that because what do you prefer in terms of digital writing?
I prefer books, but, these days, Alex, we have to you also have to do digital stuff too.
I think it's very sad if you try to stay with the kids. I think you have to do your own thing, otherwise the kids are just like, yeah.
What was that noise? I also have to admit that I actually like books, and I'm a bit of a kid. I'm like a semi-kid. Does 25 count as being a kid?
Oh, yeah, totally a kid. I think that Alex thinks he's a kid, and he's got to be over 50.
Oh, well, Alex, he's like 70 now, isn't
he? Well, there you go, exactly. At the very least.
Alex is timeless.
Katie, thank you.
How much did he pay you to say that?
As someone who has read some William Cole's books in times past, including, I think, Mr. Tubal?
Yeah. I haven't read Dave Cameron's School Days.
Now's your chance to finally say to Bill Coles what you thought of David Cameron's School Days or the biography of the Tory Party up to the year of Theresa May.
I thought it was absolutely fabulous. I thought it was very, very witty and extremely cheeky in a good way.
Oh, very sweet of you to say so. But I'm afraid David Cameron is yesterday's man. David Cameron, who no one cares less about him now. He can just go off to America, give his speeches and earn his millions.
Mm. Well, there we are. I mean, obviously, there's a place for David Cameron. Actually, on the show tomorrow, because Eddie the Eagle Edwards has had to cancel his programme to get debut tomorrow. So he was with us a couple of years ago. I thought it was nice to actually get another glorious British failure on the production. But unfortunately, he's failed to make that, and so has cancelled. So there is a vacancy for David Cameron. Should his advisors be listening? Or his feet?
Too good for David Cameron. Bluntly. Far too good for David Cameron.
Sage words. I noticed, Bill, from your wonderful Facebook page, we have the words put forward by Sue Everson. Bill, the green tea ice cubes worked! Exclamation marked. I'm delighted. Shame you can't paint the recipe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the green tea ice cubes. Would you like to explain what exactly this was for?
Sue, who was an old colleague of mine on The Sun, she put a little plea out on Facebook saying, does anyone know what to do with puffy faces and puffy eyes? And she got all this rubbish from her friends saying, don't drink so much and go to bed earlier. But I actually had some decent advice, which I'd picked up from, of all people, Joan Collins, who's in her 80s and still swears by it. If you've got puffy eyes or puffy face, you want ice cubes. Preferably made from green tea, and they hold them against your eyes, preferably with a little bit of paper or muslin like that. And 5 minutes, no puffiness.
Had you heard that one, Katie?
I hadn't.
No. Not that
Young pups under the age of 25, they don't need to know about this one.
No, this is true. I think of parents and grandparents and so on. I mean, I wouldn't dare to suggest that Annie Snart would be in the need of any green tea after.
She would probably give it a go.
I've tried the cucumber thing, where you put cucumber in your eyes
Works very well at staff meetings, I found, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to actually block out the sensory deprivation of the
cucumber in your eyes, cucumber in your ears.
I'm not saying which staff meetings, but some people know which staff meetings they're referring to, and that'll suffice for me. Shaylee?
I've never heard of that, no, but green tea is quite... it, like, detoxifies you, so... That sounds about right.
Okay. Young adult author Kerry Drury, who's produced Cell 7, Day 7 and Final 7. No Shed, I noticed, but that probably because they're copyright. She'll be with us shortly. She's in Manchester and she'd actually just missed our last call. It's all right, Kerry. We'd done what we actually did with William and we dialed you by mistake. So it's okay. You know, if you had you answered, I would have thought, oh, William, you've undergone gender realignment. So, I have to sort of work through this process. But, Tessa, anything that you'd like to sort of seek from our wonderful Church of Coles, the great Archbishop William, in his Edinburgh abode? What would you like to ask him? He will give you advice on all sorts of things. It may be the wrong advice.
Yeah, I've also got a problem, by the way, but, yeah, I can do advice as well.
What's your problem? Let's see if I can help with the advice.
What's your problem?
Let's see agony arms.
What's your problem?
The dry vets can try and help.
Exactly.
Okay, for Christmas, I gave my eldest son, Dexter, who's 15, a ping pong table, which we can just about fit into our room upstairs. And the problem is that he keeps on smashing the bat in a rage. And so far, in less than two months, has smashed at least 8. So what does tough love do about that?
Therapy.
Get a new sun. Or a silicone bat, maybe, yeah, that just bounces off the walls and hits someone in the head.
Bubble wrap.
Yeah, okay.
Bubble bat. Yep.
Put it in bubble wrap.
Put it in bubble wrap.
You just wrap it up.
I like that. Change the diet of your son. Does he actually like his e-numbers? Does he like his Smarties? Is he prone to extreme chocolate scenarios, particularly now we're in Lent and he should have given up all chocolate, obviously?
Yeah, he's very keen on crepes. Yes, maybe that could be the thing, but so far what I've been doing is just throwing the matches.
I've got an idea. Send him for a run, and then he can sort of, you know...
So he works out his adolescent energy.
Run it all off.
Right.
And then come back.
And then he's allowed to play. Yeah. And then I can beat him.
Followed by a cold shower, but I won't go any further down that line because it would be just inappropriate. I don't know, so... Shayla, you said get a new son. That's not really helpful.
Get a new son.
That's what I did.
Yes. Katie, you were...
I'm all in favour of therapy. I think talking therapy or primal scream therapy or something to get it out. Yeah.
Primal scream.
I'm going to go with that one. I think just get the anger out first and then go from there.
Right.
Or a silicone bat.
Therapy.
Or, yeah.
Therapy's pretty expensive. I mean, it's much cheaper just to keep on buying new bats.
Could you not move it into the garden and just, I don't know.
No, he's still going to smash the bat on the table. Well, you know,
is he smashing the bat because you keep beating him?
Competitive dad.
Yeah.
So don't beat him then. Let him win.
Let him win.
For the sake of the bat, let him win.
Or just teach him.
That could be a song from Les Miserables. Couldn't let him win. Yeah.
Once again, we've already started
Look out
putting
for the rewrite.
Exactly. It's just opening up a whole range of other bits and pieces. Katie, would you like to put those last two interrogatives to William Coles now that we've done another 15 minutes worth of joy from Edinburgh?
Have you had a reasonably interesting and potentially helpful telephonic link with us today?
Yes, it's been fantastic. I'll book the therapy sessions. Thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Just as soon as Alex needs another confession.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, William, to use that quaint, well-worn cliche, we like to feel as though the 5:15 slot is pretty much yours until such time as we realise we're just bored with you.
Right, okay.
It's never going to happen, honestly.
Stop him leaving, but he always knew one day.
again, if you have excess caffeine, that can actually be very unwise. So maybe caffeine-free coffee, but it's micro mechanics. In Manchester, at present, it isn't raining. Yay! In Manchester, at present, it's always shining because Kerry Drury's there. How are you, Kerry?
I'm very well, Alex. Thank you. How
Yay.
Are you?
Very good indeed. And just beginning to recover after Monday night's debacle where a certain team called Wigan Pie Eaters had the temerity to actually beat Manchester City 1-0 in the FA Cup. Never mind. Just
oh,
let
no.
it go. I know. It's okay. Yeah. Let it go. I can always console myself with Cell 7, Day 7, Final 7, no Shed 7. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist saying it again.
No.
In the studio, Kerry, we have three fabulous midweek drivers. We've got Katie Dorr.
Hello.
We've got
Hello.
Tessa Snart.
Hello, nice to meet you.
And we've got Shaylee McKenzie.
Hi there.
Hello.
And would you like to share with Shaylee, Tessa and Katie, and possibly the listener who hasn't as yet encountered the awesomeness that is the trilogy, which ends in 7 but has Cell 7, Day 7 and Final 7, why, in terms of young adult literature, the world is going crazy?
Oh, thank you very much indeed. Did you want me to tell you what it's about?
I think so. I mean, we've teased enough, Kerry, so I think, you know, for those people who haven't been used to the Inspired on Air packages, that's actually haven't quite gone to the at Kerry Drury package, haven't sort of located behind bars for your entertainment, and the tremendous, awesome wins, a whole heap of other things, you know, commentary, inspiration, book awards, a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. Kerry, share with us how this magic is entering the universe for all our delights.
Well, Cell 7 is set in a society very similar to ours, but where the death penalty still exists and where prisoners are put on death row, which is only 7 days long, and their guilt or innocence is decided by the public, who get to vote on a series of television shows by internet or phone votes.
Yeah, so as we said, reality television. Back in the day, I think it was, what, 3-4 years ago we started doing these little links, so you're just opening through that there, we thought, is it Big Brother? No, it's actually the way higher education is going when you look at student surveys these days. But never mind. Katie Dorr, does this appeal?
It sounds really intriguing, absolutely.
Tessa Snart.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It does. It sounds really interesting.
Shaylee McKenzie, science fiction graduate extraordinaire.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely sounds like something I'd enjoy.
I feel like I'm on the talent show being judged now.
Don't I get three?
Do I get three yeses or am I going down?
I think it's a definite yes. All is well with that sort of routine. We've recently had the launch, of course, of Final 7. That was Saturday, the 10th of February 2018, this particular year, at the Book Fair Woodhall Spa. But you're actually currently on tour. Is that one of the reasons you're in Manchester at present?
No, I'm in Manchester. I'm at the university there for the day, so talking to some creative writing students.
Well,
actually,
yeah, so say, it'll only be a matter of time before the connections are made between Professor Jason Whittaker, between the joys of Michael Blackburn and others, and I'm sure that we'll bring you in. I mean, I think Kerry, we need to go one better than Manchester, don't we?
Well, Lincoln, you have a better cathedral.
There you go.
There we go.
Exactly. So how has the tour been going? Because you've actually done a fair number of Waterstones, I believe, Kerry, in terms of the journey for this.
Been doing lots of things. Of course, it's World Book Week next week and World Book Day next Thursday. So I'm going into a few schools next week to celebrate that and encourage children to read and pick up books and talk to them about the importance of reading and inspiring imagination. So I'll be in Priory Witham in Lincoln next Thursday and then off down to Norfolk on the Friday.
As we said, you've been shortlisted for the Leeds Book Awards back in 2013. You're nominated for the Carnegie Medal with A Dream of Lights. It's all going very well. I mean, is it just a case of how is it that TV producers haven't realised that they should be getting into this and options should be made, or are they already being made and you can't talk about them on air?
I think I need to carry you around in my pocket as my own personal little publicist.
It's a possible game.
Alex is there. Count him in.
I need to obviously use my reducer ray on myself to actually reduce myself to become a pocket
size. Honey, I shrunk Alex.
Exactly. It's a strange and wondrous thing.
When we say, talk about young adult fiction, as a reader, Katie, is this something which appeals to yourself? As, or is it a case of, you know, you think, no, I'm over 18, I don't do young adult now?
No, it's something I actually tend to particularly look for, in that I found that young adult fiction tends to be particularly sort of story-driven, rather than the writer wants to tell me a good story. They don't necessarily want to show off their amazing skills, they just want to tell me a really good, solid story about relatable people, and I think that's a biggie for me.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think a lot of children's writers would as well, that it's all about the story, not about the age. And the most important thing is to write a good story that's going to engage people and inspire them to think and question.
Tessa?
What inspired you to write these particular stories?
I wanted to explore death penalty and what people on death row think, and why some people look for God and some people seek redemption and some people are angry. And I just wanted to explore what that must be like to go through that. And, of course, we don't have the death penalty here. And in America, the death penalty is so long. I thought if I write a story on there, it will be really slow and quite tedious. So I looked back in the history of our death penalty and thought, well, what if it hadn't been abolished? It was 1969 that the final vote was taken, which is coming up 50 years ago. And I thought, what's changed in society in those 50 years, and how could justice and the death penalty have changed in those 50 years? So it was more, when it wasn't kind of, it didn't come into my head in like a lightning bolt moment, lightning flash moment. It was more of an ongoing, what if I could do this and what if I could do that?
The classic science fiction mantra, of course. I've got to say, from your Twitter feed, I do like the photograph you've put up there from a sign which greeted you at uni this evening. Now, was this Manchester University? Or was this, I mean, where exactly was this in which you have, if you move the future in this room, please put it back as you found it before you leave.
It's Manchester Met Uni. Yeah, that greeted me as I walked in today. It says, if you move the future in this room, please put it back as you found it before you leave. Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
It says, oh, really?
There's a good mind that's done that.
Yeah, exactly. Or technically, you could actually say it's few massive hyphen, you know, tua, you know, as in few tua, as in furniture. It's still. I'm sure that the cleaning staff at Manchester Met will be very pleased with whoever actually has managed to create that bit of that wonderful sort of bit of avant-garde commentary on the whole system. So excellent stuff there. Shaylee, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, the death penalty in America is really, really interesting, and something that interested me. I'm quite a big food person, and I recently saw photos of prolific serial killers and what they had as their last meal.
Oh,
and
wow.
Some of the things that they were eating was just bizarre. One guy had one black olive as his last supper before he was killed. And then another guy had like a whole lobster, and it was just, you're really seeing into the minds of these people as they
That's
are about to have the death penalty.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should definitely have a look at it.
And meanwhile, let's just shift the balance around just a slight amount now, because I have one of those moments which is going to make all midweek drive-outs go, if we can let Hannah into the room. So, Tessa, if you'd like to see... Katie's gone. Actually open the door to allow Hannah entry into the whole facility. I'll hold back for a few moments. I'm actually going directly to your website, which is kerrydruryauthor.wordpress.com. And hopefully Hannah's ready for this. She's wearing her sort of unique winter hat, so that's very good for that. We'll take a photograph later, don't worry. Hannah, are you ready to actually have this moment? I would be amazed if nobody actually does go when I actually show you this particular sort of photograph that's coming up now, because it's actually a little bit of information about Kerry Drury and the writing assistant. And the writing assistant there is...
It's Astrid.
Yeah. It's Kerry's writing assistant.
Not
quite as fluffy, but just as cute. Could be almost my biography. In terms of the lineup there. Just describe what we're seeing, please, Tessa.
Oh, well, she's absolutely beautiful. We have a lovely, lovely, lovely dog. What breed is she?
She's a Leonberger.
A Leonberger. And she's absolutely beautiful. And she's sitting there with the laptop in front of her.
And yet, Luther the cat, on the other hand, not so much.
Gorgeous.
No, he's not so impressed, really.
Luther kind of just sort of basically whatever, he's
very like that, I'll just sit on all your work and I don't care.
I feel in so many ways it was worth it. In fact, it's worth going to Curry's, website, it's more a blog site, etc., just for that. In fact, do we get a snapshot of your working environment, though? Is that the work of a writer?
Desk on there,
that is Curry's desk. It's marvellous. Curry's, it's everything's in place there for a brighter
future. I think I tidied it up for that photograph.
The more chaos you put into something, the more effort you put into something, the more chaos you cause.
Isn't, like, chaos creativity?
Yes, out of chaos emerged the hydrogen atoms, which several billion years ago started forming to create what you actually are listening to at this very moment in time.
Nice.
Yeah, this goes to show Siren Radio pushing those boundaries. How can people get hold of your books, Kerry? Are they still available for bargain prices? I mean, they're obviously all bargain prices.
I think, actually, they're on a Kindle deal at the minute.
99p?
Yeah, well.
I think they are, 99p on Kindle. Yeah.
That's got to be worth
I've already bought all three of those.
And do you think, given that Hannah, even though she hasn't said it, has still been suffering withdrawal symptoms ever since J.K. Rowling gave up on the Harry Potter scenario, do you think, as young adult authors are concerned, maybe, Hannah, we could persuade you to go Kerry Drury for a few moments?
Oh, yes. I'm definitely as a book lover, I'll read anything.
There you are. Mind you, that's not the most startlingly wonderful endorsement, really. As a book lover, I'll read
anything.
I love
good books. You know, I love reading is good books. You know.
Yeah, nice. Good caveat there. It's very important. Sometimes you look at it from a public relations point of view, Kerry, you think, no, we don't want to quote, I'll read anything, Hannah Brown. You know, it's not necessarily going to sort of get people sort of really salivating to get hold of the copy.
Re-clarify, I'll read any genre and all good books.
There you are.
Okay.
Okay, Hannah, your first task is you dive straight into the production. By the way, how is life? Is it okay? Has it been good?
Mostly.
Good. It's marvellous. Would you like to quiz Kerry Drury in the way that we normally do about how she found the last few moments of her life, really?
The last few questions? Okay. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this afternoon?
I've very much enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Yes, it's been lovely to chat.
That's an exquisite answer, really. I think 10 out of 10 for that. It's very good. Good delivery, good execution, nicely positive. And the next one.
And will you be joining us again anytime soon?
Oh, if I'm invited, yes, I'd love to.
Of course!
Remove the water.
great thing is, with respect to Talking Heads, you have the time to actually upload the latest incarnation of the Midweek Drive. It's there, all done and dusted, not yet tagged in as yet, but a quartet of quality, if ever there was one. Of course, we forgot to mention, actually, Hannah, your last show was the post-birthday special, and the other reward, of course, was you actually made the actual masthead.
Wow.
I know, yes. It's amazing.
Yes. That's not scary.
Wearing, of course, the official Midweek Drive cap as well. Oh, which I noticed you're not wearing it this evening, of course.
I thought I'd save it for special occasions.
Exactly. Very good. Special occasion like welcoming a new Midweek Drivette to the fold who hasn't even started her public relations programme at the University of Lincoln because she came to us via an open day a wee while ago. She's doing completing a BTEC and doing a whole variety of other bits and pieces. She's now officially signed up as our Derbyshire correspondent because she's done radio and various other bits and pieces. It's Kira Allsbrook. How are you, Kira?
Hi! I'm sorry, that sounds like a chipmunk again.
We've always been saying for many years, Katie, Hannah, Tessa, and Shirley will say, you know, we really need some more chipmunks on the programme. And whoa,
yes,
there we
exactly are.
Suddenly, we've sorted out the chipmunk scenario. It's great stuff. So, what is the weather like in Derbyshire this evening, Kira?
Do you want to know the honest truth?
Yes.
Well, at the moment it is, we'll put it lightly, so I'll just say cloudy, terrible rain, torrential actually,
right.
And freezing.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
So normal.
Exactly. That's why we love Derbyshire, because, you know, there we just did a piece with young adult author Kerry Drury in Manchester. Dry, perfectly, all conditions fine. Derbyshire, it's like a torrential time up there. Still, never mind.
Perfect for a lovely walk.
you won't let that lie with you, Katie. I know. Just when you think we've sorted that whole thing through. Never mind. You'd have to listen to the early part of the programme, Kira, to actually find out what we're referring to there. Okay. Shaley graduated, of course, last year. Was it last year? It was last year.
It was last year, Alex. Thank you for reminding me.
Tessa and Hannah are in their final years as journalism undergraduates here at the University of Lincoln. They'll soon be graduates, of course, doing marvellous things. Hannah from Harwich, Tessa from Glinton. Tessa, of course, will probably still be connected via Sound and Country Vision. Because
yes, Glinton,
it's not as though Glinton is as far away as Harwich, is it?
No, it's literally the
end of the universe, etc. But Tessa, would you like to quiz Kira on how she's feeling now? She's possibly around about 6 months away. 6 months away from actually stepping through. I mean, bless her heart, when we invite her to come back to the show, she said, do I need to actually come over to Lincoln? I said, it's all right, we do a telephonic phone link until you arrive in September. We can build up that kind of system. So what would you like to quiz her about, Tessa?
Well, I don't know. How are you feeling about this change coming to university? Is there anything you actually want to know?
Consider this like an extended open day opportunity, really, Kira. It's an added value.
Oh, I had that last night, actually. A girl, a student, a third-year student, I think her name was Molly.
Molly Richardson?
Yeah, that's the one. Yes. Yeah, and she answered many of my questions. But it was just mainly, you know, just about the course and things like that. But, I mean, other than that, I'm genuinely really looking forward to, you know, coming to university now and doing the course and everything. It's everything that I wanted to be. And, I'm still a bit nervous, you know, about making friends and things. But other than that, it's, like, pretty cool.
Are you the first in your family to go? Or have you had siblings
before?
You are? Oh.
Yeah, I am. So it's, like, a big... Like statement, and everyone's like, right, you've got to get in, and I'm thinking, oh god.
I can tell you I had the same thing because I was the first to go as well, but it works out all right. So you'll be fine.
There you have it, you see, the Tessa Snart view, it works out all right.
In fact,
the Snart family were so impressed, they sent Tessa's sister along. You know,
yeah,
so it's
they
great.
Did.
You know,
she's here now.
He's also doing the whole process.
Oh, wow.
it's amazing, as we say, and that's one of the reasons why we want to get the sense of energy, which I hopefully will ensure will be maintained throughout the whole sort of period of your 3 years here, and beyond, of course.
Yes.
It's just a case of we need to ensure that Midweek Drivettes are gradually developed into the whole system and work through that. Because as Hannah was saying, you know, she just wanted to do an interview with me about the setting up of Siren, and then suddenly
she's on the show. She's
exactly, it's amazing.
I think it's about George Bull.
Was it? It was George Boole. You're quite right. It was George Boole. George Boole, of course, was a mathematician without which we wouldn't be having this telephonic conversation at this moment in time, Kira, because Boolean logic is responsible for all of the computing things, all of those search engines, the whole essence of Boolean logic. It was born in Lincoln, in the High Street. Obviously, there wasn't a great deal of traffic around then, but there is a plaque to say where George Boole actually was born and then went off to Ireland, actually, to spend his latter years in Cork, actually, which was quite interesting. Well, there we are, that's George Boole, and we celebrated the bicentenary of Boole in 2015.
Well,
I'd like to sort of feel it. It's fulsome. So. Kira, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Katie Dorr, ace midwit driver, and PA to Professor Jason Whittaker? All hail. I'll just say that. Or indeed the other midwit drivers, Hannah or Shaylee or Tessa. But maybe Molly didn't actually answer, because Molly, of course, was over in Penang, KDU Penang University, and did some
links up there. I think we did a telephonic link with them.
Exactly.
I've got to think of something now.
It's a sense of excitement that comes through, really.
Well, the one good thing is she's obviously been fully informed, which means the university's doing their job right.
I have. Honestly, I know it sounds... It'll probably sound a bit weird. Oh, she just can't think of something.
No.
But honestly, yesterday, I was on the phone for a good hour and a half, I think, too, and I think at some point she just wanted to go. And I was, like, answering like a massive flood, a river of questions. She was really lovely, and she gave me all the information, and I'm just kind of now like, I don't need to ask anything else. I know it sounds really horrible.
No, it's quite all right.
Honestly,
that's what we call well done to Molly Richardson. I'll pass on the word that we like to ensure in public relations we look after ourselves across the way through that.
Give her a gold star.
And we will do that within the School of English and Journalism.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that, if we go back in time, Katie, you'd set up a welcome back Molly just for her alone, really.
Molly's
a party.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
She's brilliant.
Work through
that. Properly brilliant.
All the stuff there. So how's the radio going, Kira? Are you still keeping up with the radio? Are you sort of practicing your skills? Because, as I say, in a few months' time, you will probably be sitting in this studio exciting the whole world.
At the minute, obviously it's half term over here now, which has literally started. I've got a meeting tomorrow to talk about a show, which I briefly spoke about, I think, last time, and it was about Errol Wash and Beyond. So it's a show that we're hoping to set up, and it will be like kind of a work experience program for university students as well. But the weird thing about it is, I'll be the one that's training them.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that'll go too well.
William Morris once wrote a book called Air When, which if you reverse Air When, you get the sort of line that it was nowhere. Air Wash sounds like it should really be in Game of Thrones, really, as I think of that. But yes, in Derbyshire, Katie, there is a place called Radio Air Wash, and Air Wash is there, and that's where Kira is speaking. I mean, are you actually speaking from Air Wash, Kira? Or Kira, or is it whereabouts in Derbyshire are you communicating with us from?
Ilkeston. It's basically, it's in between Derby and Nottingham and in the county of Borough-wash, Erewash.
See, it's like a strange and wonderful Harry Potter-esque world.
It's a fantasy land that you don't really want to go to. I'm not doing good promoting here, might want to go to. No, you will. You would love to go to. Especially,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why wouldn't you wish to actually check out our watch?
Yeah.
To work through our
effect. Beautiful sights, I must say.
Genius. it's going to be a whole new experience, I feel, when you actually connect with us in full scenarios there. Now, your next task, Kira, as we work through that. Interesting enough, Kira, not spelt C-I-A-R-A, or indeed K-E-I-R-A, as in Kira Knightley, but K-E-E-R-A. Interesting.
I don't actually know why. I think it was because my mum, in particular, was just different and wanted to basically create a name for me where I can't have anything personalised, and you get bullied for it.
No.
I did a little bit when I was in primary, and in the end I was like, I don't care, I'm different. And then I got to secondary and I was like, someone's got weird names here, it's fine.
They're the good ones, the unusual names.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Alex Levchuk, imagine the case, you know. Levchuk translates as little lion, you know.
She's good.
Yeah. Precisely. And from that point of view, it makes you a super heroine in so many ways. For the first few months of her time at Lincoln, we thought Tessa Snart was actually related to Leonard Snart, Captain Cold in the Flash TV series.
From the Sky News Centre at 6.
And that obviously sort of is a cue for Leonard Snart, Captain Cold from the Flash TV series, to actually burst into that whole basis. Still, never mind. And as I've often said, you know, parents are very difficult to bring into the world. You know, you sort of say, maybe this is the line entirely. Tessa, go on then. Last two questions for Kira, please.
Well, it was lovely to meet you, Kira, and I'm sure we all wish you the best of luck when you start university.
But thank you.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Yes, I have. It's been a pleasure again.
Or indeed, as Kira said in an email this morning, looking forward to the telephonetic link. It's like kinetic energy. It's genius. You know, it's working through that. That's why we're sort of building up this diary as a sort of the work through that. So all being well, you will have a chance, if she says yes, to speak again to Kira Alsbrook in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Well, will you be joining us again in the next few weeks?
No, of course I would. I'd love to.
These BTEC students, they're so...
Not sure.
We
give up a lot. Don't
give up.
Never give up, never surrender. Kira Alsbrook, she rules.
I can wait another day until I call you. You've only got my heart on a string and everything a flutter. But another lonely night might take forever. We've only got each other to blame. It's all the same to me, love, 'cause I know.